kind of chart a city council speech, another city council speech of mine from the spring of that year. My speeches at that time were pretty good. They were pretty forceful. They had a lot of information. And they kind of give you a historical look back at the scene in 1990. Here's another one.
Given to the homeless table on three occasions. The next speaker was me, and for the first time, taking a page from Leith Austin's book, I spoke to the audience, not to the council, or actually to everyone, but mostly to the audience, with my back to the council.
Is there further communication tonight?
My name is Robert Norris, and I address you tonight because a small, willful gang of people, the folks behind me, continue to greet all the curses I expressed with questions. Their police force acknowledges and respects simple human rights and needs.
Well, unfortunately, though I did speak to the people, the rest of us people can't hear that speech because I wasn't speaking into the mic. Now, you can hear it. It's sufficiently good quality to hear it if you're listening on a tape recorder, but I don't want to put that over the air. What I will put over the air, however, is sort of a report from Santa Rosa that came to my attention about a month ago from a woman at the Civic Auditorium Book Fair, the event held by the Friends of the Library, who the evening before attempted to have me arrested for giving away flyers on the porch of the Civic Auditorium. This was about a month ago. And here is a report from one of the women inside from Santa Rosa, which is a town about 50 miles north of San Francisco.
I'm talking to
Barbara Bear.
Barbara, you're here at the Public Library Book, festival? Or
Book Fair, the Friends of the Library Book Fair, but I come from Sonoma County to bring a book just published by 27 Sonoma County women called Cartwheels on the Fault Line.
Any of them homeless women, perhaps?
Do you know, I'm pretty sure that the one woman who's not alive, Boschka Layton, spent time as a homeless person.
Well, I mentioned
I don't think that anyone else is homeless right now. Right. I hope they're not. I hope they have a place to live.
Okay.
It matters more than anything. We have our, in Sonoma County, a number of clergy have been sleeping in their cars to protest the police ordinance of rousting people out of their cars and considering that they're occupying some sort of public space by sleeping in their cars, which we believe they're not, that they should be allowed to sleep in their cars. And I wish I knew more about the official ordinances of Sonoma County. I know people sleep all over the place under the overpasses and in culverts and alongside the river, and I don't know how much they're forced out of where they are. But there's a great support system for the homeless. There's something called the Task Force for the Homeless. I think Sonoma County is probably pretty good.
Has the impact of the sleep out by the clergy been effective? Or?
I think so. I think that the Board of Supervisors, you know, I wish that I knew. I don't want to give information that I don't know for sure. But I think that they're not harassing people in their cars since the clergy slept in their cars for a number of nights protesting.
How many clergy did? Any ideas? Was it in the papers? Is that how you knew about it?
It was in the papers, but I know of one man, Rabbi Michael Robinson, particularly. But there's a number. It's very ecumenical. There's Baptists and Catholics and Jews and others, over 20, but of exact numbers I don't know.
And your name again is?
Barbara Bear. I live in Forestville on the Russian River, where a lot of people sleep along the Russian River. Not in the winter when it's flooding, but later on.
What's going on now, I want you to know about it.
And you're listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz, Bathrobe's Piers Broadsides, the Endless Edition. However, it should end at least within the next half hour because we're going to have Dan Hopkins bumping pillows with me here on the air if he's gotten any sleep, unless he's still snoozing away somewhere. We now have something that happened about a month ago. There is actually a meeting of the Women's Commission for the Prevention of Violence Against Women every month, and there was one meeting earlier this week, Linda LeMaster is one of the commissioners, and a devout commissioner she is, concerned with the rights of poor people and herself homeless. She's living with her, alternately living with her son and in her car or anywhere else around town that she can find. I invited her to call in and to co-host a couple of these shows, but she's been unable to do it. I think she has enough trouble trying to keep her health together and get from one place to another. But we did approach the Women's Commission about a month ago asking that they recommend a rescission of the sleeping ban, at least parts of the sleeping ban, during a period of time when there is a shelter emergency in effect, as there is now. Here is Sean Alimi, and after him, me, speaking before the Women's Commission.
Okay, abuse, disrespect, I was writing this, so it's not quite finished. However, I'm going to make it, as I have a lot of thoughts in my mind, I'd like to put it down. However, here it goes. Abusing of women is an ongoing battle. The battle fronts are either sexual, financial, mental, or dependency, either drugs or a person. On occasion, all of the above. Especially in our case. Hi, my name is Sean Alimi. I feed the people. I feed homeless and hungry people at the corner of Pacific and Cathcart. And in the past couple of days, even right here at the City Hall, we've been camping out here. Approximately 40%, the people we feed, approximately 40% of them are teenagers, young adults, or elderly women. Ages varying from 13 to 55 years old. I personally see a lot of abuse due to financial shelter and drugs, simply because on occasion the parents and some of these people are either abused children or they've had a bad luck with a bad marriage or something, and they pick up their children and hit the road. Most of the times they're not a women's crisis center or any type of a shelter for some of these people. Most of them are homeless. And part of the reason we're camping out there is also because of such reasons. And not too many people pay attention to homeless people because they said, we don't work. I'm sorry. I'm a simple example of this whole society. I do come from a heavy-duty corporate background. However, I found it's more beneficial on occasion to listen to the people and work for the people rather than try to milk the people. We try on occasion, we get a lot of donations from different groups, such as Odwalla. On occasion, we do drop some at the Women's Crisis Center on Thursday nights. It hasn't been much lately because it's winter time. Winter time, people don't drink as much juice. Don't ask me why. They don't get much sun, they don't get much nutrition, but on occasion we try to drop some off. So keep us in mind, and we're going to try to be there more often. Anyway, getting back to the conversation here. Homelessness is has a direct effect on whatever you guys, ladies, are working on. And I would appreciate it if you could help us try to stop this sleeping ban, or work something out to possibly work out a shelter for not only for the ladies, also for the men, because on occasion they like to stay together. On some instances I've seen ladies dependent on their boyfriends or their co-hosts or their lovers, or however they like to put it. We need to work on education. Educating not necessarily the children, the parents. I've seen every book from let's say what kind of religion to from A to Z. There are books, but there are no books how to be a parent. What we have to do, we have to educate not only the children on a basis of sexual, how they should be treated, how they should be touched, what is a love touch, what is a lust touch. We should also go back and educate the parents to see the signs. Some kids, they go inward. Some kids, they stop studying. Especially in female species, I've noticed some drastic changes of behavior. They get violent with men. It goes vice versa. Men get violent with women because on occasion they have problems with their mother or something like that. What we need to do, this is not just about the homelessness. This is about educating everybody. As far as how to respect a one being, the human necessities is called love. We need to put that out. We need to educate them. You are the mothers on this planet. Not only we need to protect the main mother, Mother Earth, we need to protect every other mother which is going to create another being. That is you. Please help us stop the homelessness. One. That will help a lot of different sources, such women which they don't have resources, again, to start. We need to change that. The city council, I've tried. They don't listen. They think none of these people want to work. That is a false statement. And I'm very angry at this. The only way I can see, ladies can move things. They can shake things. People listen to them. You have such power. It's unreal. Look at Mother Earth. I call myself the bitch down at Pacific Cathcart. Reason being is, it's not from disrespect, it's from respect. Mother Earth gets angry. Once in a while sends tornadoes, sends the earthquakes. It teaches people to respect it. Same way, I yell and scream. I tell them, bring the recyclables back. Bring the paperwork back. Bring whatever feeds you. If you don't like it, put it in the recycle. Let's recycle it. Let's do all the plastic. Bring all the plastic work back. I know maybe taking a little too much of your time. I'm one with Mother Earth. I'm one with you. Please help us. Help us to get a shelter. Please help us to get a location, which we can help many of these people. Not just the men, especially the women. Because, God forbid, what happens to one or two of them? And it hurts not only our group. I would be devastated. And I try to put 100% of my time at this point goes to feed, shelter, and finally I became political, I guess, when I started camping on the front lawn. But I was not a political person until they started giving me tickets, and it just it's time for awakening. It's time to do something about this. We need your support. This is not just my fight. This is human race fight. It's the right to sleep. It's the right to be one with Mother Earth. It's one to be creators again. Let's start that again. And we need to make some phone calls. We need your support, please. Thank you.
That was Sean Alimi speaking at the Women's Commission about a month ago. Sean has been on the front lines of the fight to secure the sleeping right for homeless people, the right not to be harassed for falling asleep in Santa Cruz. Currently under attack because of Ordinance 6.36.010 in the city, which makes it illegal to sleep after 11 o'clock at night or cover up with bedding. That was a speech at the Women's Commission. Sean has since gone to jail repeatedly. He's been in jail the last two weekends on irregular arrests. One arrest was for misdemeanor sleeping, which means sleeping twice within 48 hours. But when he was released, lo and behold, the charge had completely disappeared. And similarly, when Robert Flory, also arrested on misdemeanor sleeping but not held in jail over the weekend, was reached the court, there was no charge in the hopper. What that means is they're using misdemeanors, which you can be arrested on, and then the misdemeanors are disappearing, so people have no opportunity to defend themselves. Sean continues to fight this battle, as do others at the Sleep Out, and you'll be hear more about that from Dan Hopkins when he comes in about 15 minutes. Now you get to hear me speaking at the Women's Commission.
That was very eloquent. My name is Robert Norris, and I'm a community activist with a group called HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. A lot of what I say is on this flyer. I'll just hand it to Melissa Jo and you check it out. This is a flyer that's being distributed by the Sleep Out concerning what's been going on at the Sleep Out, police harassment of people, harassing mostly men, but women are also at the Sleep Out, and they suffer the same victimization at night. There's a man who talked to you about it in much more detail. He had to leave. He's doing lots of things. I had to speak about this. Mr. Hopkins, you may have seen him in the audience earlier. I want to express my appreciation to this commission and to Melissa Joe for facilitating a meeting on January 10th with the district attorney and various other individuals in his office, including one other individual filing attorney, Kate Canales, the sheriff, police chief, in an attempt to investigate circumstances around the death of Linda Edwards. Linda Edwards had been out there tonight sleeping with us, trying to fight for the rights of homeless women. She was a homeless woman for much of her life, lived in her van, and was arrested countless number of times by the Santa Cruz police in simply the daily act of trying to live or the nightly act of trying to sleep. And I understand that her death, significant irregularities surrounded it, and we received reassurances from the DA that he was going to check it up. I see here that a summary of it, follow-up training for receptionists regarding non-traditional families to ensure appropriate referrals to victim witness assistance, need for a more expansive definition of family be utilized to ensure the death investigation process is explained to non-traditional next of kin, and then, of course, contact with Hill Haven administrators regarding patient safety. And, of course, there's a controversy in Hill Haven even now concerning the very circumstances there for employees and such. I hope that you follow up on this. I appreciate Melissa Joe's arranging this meeting. I was going to come up here and do a bit of bitching because I was angry when I came in here that we missed oral communications and you were in the midst of an important investigation of your own. I'm concerned in public meetings that the public be shown a lot of respect, because if you don't show them respect, they don't show up, they disappear, and you're left talking with yourselves. In police review board meetings and even the downtown commission, we've had circumstances where oral communication has been loosely moved around to accommodate the public. And I appreciate you doing that in this circumstance. I encourage you to do so in the future, because I think that it really helps you to be in touch with members of the public, those who made it to the meeting. We're here, obviously, for a special pleading. We're concerned about the rights of people sleeping and the rights of women sleeping, some of which is covered in that flyer, some of the issues. That's why I also think it's good, even though it may seem to impinge at times on that, the very important issues you have and the very limited time you have to consider, such as yesterday when you were dealing with teen situations. And I appreciate Melissa Joe's letting us come in there, admittedly after pressure through the city council, that there was an oral communications required, and we attempted on our part to limit our own communications to the specific issue of teen violence and how it was affected by the anti-homeless laws in Santa Cruz, and specifically the one we are trying to change outside, namely the sleeping ban. There were three men who were not allowed to speak because Rotkin did not notice them. That's Mayor Rotkin, the man who supports the sleeping ban, I'd like to point out at this point, and is a key swing vote on this issue. They are not here to speak. There, some of them are trying to sleep because I'll have to be waking later at night, because if they fall asleep later at night, they'll be arrested by the police in our vigil. So they're sleeping, they can't be here. One of them would have said to you that the sleeping ban was lifted in Visalia, California, through this kind of protest affecting both men and women and allowing people to sleep in the parks. What power do you have to do this as individuals and as a commission?
And we've since found there's some question about whether Visalia had its sleeping ban lifted. It actually doesn't have a sleeping ban, according to the police chief there, whom I contacted by phone about a week and a half ago, but it rather has sort of a curfew. You can't go into the parks after 10 o'clock at night, says the police chief, and he recalls no demonstrations which resulted in the lifting of any kind of ban or permission to be in the parks. This is what we had heard from some demonstrators who were with us at the very early days of the sleep out at City Hall. And we'll get back to you on updates on Visalia. Continuing listening to my speech before the Women's Commission for the Prevention of Violence Against Women.
What impact can you have on City Council? I don't know. I know, however, that the issue is going to be confronting us again and again, and it's something that I think that you have to deal with, we all have to deal with. And any kind of assistance, as Sean suggested, whether it be phone calls, letters, contacts with the protest and the vigil, further attempts to educate yourself and those you're in contact with, that would be great. Two other things. A homeless woman, I don't know if this information reached you yesterday, reported a beating by police in connection with the vigil on Monday morning. She and her companion, husband, boyfriend, were reported that they had been struck by batons and flashlights by Lieutenant Joe Habey and Sergeant Vogel. They were not part of the vigil. They were across the street. And apparently, maybe if this report was true, and I can't say, I wasn't there, but we had them videotaped giving this report. A complaint was filed, I believe, by Sean with the Citizens Police Review Board.
My understanding, however, as of April 5th, today, no such complaint was yet filed. But their concern about this beating I've previously mentioned in the show, and I did play for an interview with them in a previous show, the last show or two ago. I am convinced that the woman is telling the truth, that she was struck either by Habey or by Vogel, and that that happened.
This impacts women, not just the fact that everyone suffers under the sleeping ban, they can't sleep legally at night, but the police are now arresting protesters and harassing them. No women protesters have been arrested yet, but there's a woman, Shannon, who may well be arrested. She's ill.
On April 5th, by this time, there have been women protesters arrested. Nikki from San Francisco, Sandy from Santa Cruz have both been arrested, as well as being multiply ticketed.
Police with us anyway. She thinks it's very important to do that because on March 15th, as you probably know, there will be a massive influx of homeless people, including numbers of disabled women into the community because of the closing of the Winter Armory. One of the things that is, there are actually two of the things I want to mention briefly. One is a woman named Gina, and this concerns procedures at the Interfaith Satellite Shelter Program. That is the major service provider in Santa Cruz that ran the open-air shelter campground until they illegally closed it in violation of their commitment to the campers. That's a whole other issue. I won't go into that. She, however, was expelled from that program in October. They claimed she was violent. She sought an appeal. As to this day, she has not been given an appeal. A request was made on her behalf to Paul Marceau, who is the head of the Interfaith Shelter Program. No response was received from Marceau. I know that Marceau received the appeal, received her appeal to him, because I handed him a document at the Citizens Committee for the Homeless meeting in October. I encourage you to look into this practice of no appeal process from the only legal shelter in Santa Cruz for women at night if they're not in programs. Secondly, another woman would be here, but I have not been able to. I've been running around dealing with this protest. She has been concerned with inadequate responses of women's crisis support. She had an abusive partner. She went to women's crisis support. She felt she was treated with discrimination because she was homeless. She could not go into the Interfaith Satellite Shelter Program because the abusive partner was there, and she could not secure any injunction or assistance from women's service that deals with that particular thing. I would hope to have these two women here to talk to you directly. I'll attempt to have them contact you as individual members at a later time. I would like to get I'm speaking to your two guests about a ritual abuse biography. I think it would be very interesting for the public to have access to that, since this is an ongoing controversy. And I think one that hopefully will be aired publicly at the Crown Books demonstration. I think that about covers it. I appreciate your patience in this matter. Let me just take one quick look here. And I'll say the obvious. All the problems, ritual abuse, domestic violence, are exacerbated by being homeless, and they're exacerbated by laws that penalize people for being homeless and sleeping at night. San Francisco, a week ago, decriminalized sleeping for homeless people in the parks under Mayor Willie Brown. We supposedly have a liberal community here. Mayor Rotkin has declared there will not be a campground here in my lifetime, according to this morning's Sentinel, and you can read that. Actually, I didn't bring that flyer with me, but that is on the front page of today's Sentinel. You can look it over. We need to get past this kind of bigotry and prejudice, and indeed, Sean suggests that it may be a gender thing, that the women on the city council, many of them are more sympathetic and receptive to these issues than the men. I have no idea, but I appeal to you as human beings to try to deal with these issues and read the flyer, see what you think. There's numbers to call, and again, thanks for your time.
And that was me and Sean Alamy at the Women's Commission on the Preventions of Violence Against Women. Not the most recent meeting, but the meeting before that. As far as I know, they have made no move to recommend to City Council that the sleeping ban be modified or changed, at least in the interests of poor and homeless women who are caught up in its toils. Still no sign of our talk show host, Dean. Looks like he has 8 minutes left in his show, which I'm going to eagerly eat. And Dan Hopkins should be showing up on the horizon mighty fast. Here's a tip of the hat to an old activist, again from 1990. We're kind of going back to the beginning of the decade. When Leif Austin, also known as Rainbow Light, hit town. He actually hit town in 1989, right after the earthquake, and he's famous for running around Berkeley and was he shouting, "Die, yuppie scum," was one of the things he used to shout at the top of his lungs on Telegraph Avenue. And when he reached Santa Cruz, he began talking about the sleeping ban, and he joined the protest that which started at City Hall right after the earthquake in 1989, and then moved to the post office for 8.5 months. And in this particular speech, which I believe is March of 1990, he went to City Council. He spoke right after I did. You heard the beginnings of my speech when I turned away from the City Council and spoke directly to the community. There was no television in the City Council chambers at that time. And actually, on further investigation, you can actually hear that speech, so I may play it for a future show. But you definitely can hear Leif Austin, who follows me. He is a man of extremely loud voice, extremely clear, and he had interesting colloquies with Mayor Marty Wormhout. This is from March 1990, the fight at that time to end the sleeping ban, and also to allow for the serving of free food.
See the time for any members of the audience who would like to comment on this particular ordinance, which allows the County Health Service Agency to enforce statutes, rules, and orders relating to public health within the city. This would be the time for anyone to offer a testimony on this, if there is any.
Good evening. My name is Leif Austin, and we have a feeling that this ordinance is out to stop us from serving food to the people. Do you have anything to say about that? Can we discuss this? Answer any questions?
So this isn't an opportunity for dialogue, really, so much as it is for you to offer your opinion to the council.
Well, I've offered my opinion to the council on several occasions, and it doesn't seem to do much good, you know? Robert was just up here. He turned his back to you. Does anybody out there know that they're serving soup, you know, at the post office? Does anybody eat there? Do you know what this ordinance will do? Does anybody out there know what the ordinance will do? They don't want to discuss it with you. The ordinance is set up so the homeless people of Santa Cruz won't be able to eat soup at the post office or anywhere else without a health permit. Or the county health people will come in and shut them down and take them to jail like they did a year ago. Or write them tickets and let it all end up in the court. Because they're tired of the police department coming in because it looks bad on the news. Take people in jail for feeding people in Santa Cruz. I mean, it was in the New York Times. It was all over. In the news, back east. Right here in Santa Cruz. Right here. This city council. Putting people in jail for feeding people. As Robert says, you know, soup for all. Has anybody out there been hungry before? Has anybody ever been given a sandwich or a piece of food at the mall or anywhere in the city? Anybody? With this ordinance, some health advisor can come up and give you a ticket for that. And you can end up in jail. We have a woman, Sandy, who spent 28 days in jail for serving homeless people soup. Right, Mayor? 28 days! She owns a business in this town, so it can affect anybody. 28 days in jail for feeding people soup. And right now, all we're doing is feeding people. And they want to make it so someone working for the county health department can come in and write a ticket, and we could end up in jail, or you can end up in jail for handing somebody a sandwich. You know, you might look around for the police if you got a sandwich and you see this hungry person. You're tired of giving them money, you know? And you're walking down, you got this sandwich, well, you can end up in jail. You don't even have a policeman.
Mr. Austin?
That's my name, Mayor Wormout.
Right. Now, do I assume that what you're telling us is that you're opposed to this ordinance? Is that correct?
You have a college education. I have a college education.
Is that correct? I think we get your point. Is there anybody else here who would like to testify on this ordinance this evening?
I'm done, Mayor. How long do I get to talk? Do I only get 3 minutes for this one?
Yes, you do.
I missed that announcement, okay? I am against this ordinance. I don't know how we can change this ordinance. Anybody for this ordinance? Anybody want to vote for this ordinance? Anybody want
I'd to
see most people in Santa Cruz starve like they used to? Anybody out there against the ordinance? Hands up if you're against the ordinance, if you'd like to see homeless people eat. Anybody? Hey, Cindy. We ain't been in a long time, but, So I would have got up earlier and said any camping ban, but last week I was up here and they put me in jail for that. So this week, you know, or 2 weeks ago, excuse me, this week I thought I'd talk about feeding people.
Okay,
so
Mr. Austin. That's it.
People, you know, you shouldn't go to jail, but you do. I mean, it's one thing to go to sleep, but it's another thing to eat. Has anybody had dinner out there? Anybody not had dinner?
Mr. Austin, I'd ask you to be quiet now so that other people can testify.
What if no one else wants to testify? Can I keep talking?
No. Is there anybody else who'd like to? Go ahead and do that. Is there anyone else who'd like to testify on this ordinance? Thanks, Jim.
Madam Mayor, council members, my name is Ed Davidson, and for the record, I'm not going to state my address. I recall at the time of the great soup handout bust, when it was discussed in this council, I made a point, and I would like to see how you respond to that point, that the infraction, the health code infraction that was cited, was for preparing food in an uncertified kitchen. Now, a person can hand out sandwiches, you can hand out prepared food, you can hand out canned goods, you can package foods, whatever, but you can't hand out food that's been cooked.
Yeah, and unfortunately we're at the end of that tape. That actually was a discussion of stuff around the police harassment of people eating free food. We'd set up a makeshift soup line at both the town clock and then across the street at the post office. That was in 1990, after Calamity's Cupboard, which was the predecessor to Karen Gillette's Free Meal, had closed down because we demanded a kitchen and began to occupy various other kitchens in search of the promised city-county kitchen. We occupied the Civic Auditorium kitchen. We occupied the kitchen at the Board of Supervisors. We occupied the kitchen at the River Street Shelter. We went to the food court when it was still operating, enraging A.C. Smith and others who felt we were just a scruffy band that was driving away his business. In any case, Jane Immler got her kitchen. But what they did was, to punish her, they gave the meal to Karen Gillette, and she's had it ever since. And there's a whole story behind that, which we'll discuss at some other time. My show is about to end. Dan Hopkins is in the studio, more or less. Not quite, actually. He's gone out to get a drink of water. Apparently somebody successfully woke him up for his show. He's going to be doing his show for the next 2 hours. And you can join me at my show on Monday. That's going to be at the usual time, 10 o'clock in the morning, on Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. If you want to call my show, or actually it's now going to be, you're going to go into Dan Hopkins' show. It's 427-3772. Looks like he's got special musical guests, chanteur or chanteuse Christine, or Kristen, if you will, and the notorious Little Scene Jacklight John Hamilton, or Johnny Dredd, who's just sitting in, but who knows, he may have some pungent words in the next show. So I'm going to go out on Phil Oaks' tune here, Santo Domingo, and I want to thank you all. Be on hand at Taco Bell 9:45 on Monday if you want to be on the show, or give me a call at 423-HUFF. Thank you very much.
Where he is, by making deals with big money. He's always made deals with big money. When you make deals with big money, you don't further democracy. And I mean, I'd rather have a quote-unquote progressive Wheeler dealer than an out-and-out reactionary Wheeler dealer in the mayor's office. But that doesn't change the fact that any democratic progress that's going to be achieved in the next few years in San Francisco is going to be because people are on his ass, you know, people who are really going to be demanding and pushing and organizing every step of the way. And that's where, for instance, I think that the Chronicle and Examiner are willing to simply fall into line and try to make sure